Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and today I have a guest with me today. So I am so excited to get to introduce you to Natalie Robertello. She is with Be Fueled Sports Nutrition, and we have so much awesome stuff and stories and things for you today. So Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm so excited. Natalie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, your business, how'd you get into doing what you do, your why, all those things. Go ahead and take it away.
Absolutely. So yeah, my name is Natalie Robertello. I am a sports dietitian and owner of Be Fueled Sports Nutrition. One of the main things about me, and I know anyone who's an endurance athlete, especially a triathlete, can relate to, is I am an endurance athlete, a triathlete. We spend so many hours doing it. So I feel like that's how we identify sometimes.
Yes.
But yeah, so I am an endurance athlete by nature. I have two pups that I love getting outdoors with. That's like, they're like the light of my life. And that's the main stuff about me. And then in terms of like how I got into this space as a sports dietitian, I was an athlete throughout high school. And once I went into college, I decided I'm not going to, you know, pursue that route, but this would be a really cool way for me to kind of extend and explore the area of athletics and work with athletes. So I decided that I wanted to become a sports dietitian, and it started to flourish from there. Little did I know, though, what a journey it was going to be getting to this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long journey doing some things that, you know, you don't want to do, but then finding your space and your area that you want to be in. And I learned so much along the way, personally, the biggest thing that one of the struggles that I dealt with was some underfueling, you know, mm-hmm. that, probably touching in a little bit to the red S kind of category and underfueling. And I learned so much in that process, and that's where I really like to help athletes with.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you have any races coming up this year? Are you racing triathlon this year?
I am. I am doing the Tin Man. It's out in Tupper Lake, New York, and yeah, that's a 70.3, and I'm looking forward to that one. I left something on the course last year, so I'm going back after it.
Awesome. Oh, that's exciting. Okay. Well, we'll make sure to cheer you on then. That'll be great. Oh, yeah, how exciting.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Okay. So let's jump in. So most commonly we're going to start off with common questions because why not? Right. Common questions around nutrition, usually where people tend to struggle, or I at least get a lot of questions around, first off, like taking nutrition seriously. Let's talk about that. You know, I think I know there's a lot of different type of information out there on the internet. And I know that I have a lot of athletes that come to me and will say like, hey, I've heard on this podcast that this person does it this way. And I've heard on this thing that this person does it this way. And my friend does it this way. And they were working with a sports dietitian and they said to do it this way. and at the same time, you know, we have all of this information available to us, and yet it still seems like athletes have a tendency to like leave nutrition as like that last thing, right? They focus on the making sure that their training plan is all on point. They make sure that they've got that coach. They make sure that they have all the gear and all that stuff that they're going to need. But then that nutrition piece tends to be like that thing that they know they need to do, but they're like, I don't know. That's kind of the vibe I usually tend to get. So what, and you actually had a really great Instagram post, recently about taking nutrition seriously and what that means. And I thought you did a very good job at explaining the pitfalls of where nutrition and the struggles inside of nutrition come from and really what it means to take nutrition seriously. Can you take us on that journey there?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, you probably experience this as well, but when athletes come to us to work on their nutrition, it's usually because maybe something has happened or they're not feeling their best. And while we love to be on the preventative side of things, it's usually more of a reactionary approach. Like, this is happening and I'm here and now I want to work on my nutrition. And then sometimes what I also see is someone wants to work on their nutrition, but they want to do a complete like 180 with their nutrition and they want to hop on the latest trend or they want to do something really extreme. And when we talk about taking nutrition seriously, I like to explain to people, like, you don't have to, when you want to work on your nutrition, you don't have to do something dramatic and something unsustainable, but you do need to take your nutrition seriously so that you can thrive in the sport. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about what that means. Yeah. It's more than just being able to cross the finish line and, you know, get the X amount of carbs in per hour. It really extends into the day to day too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also too, you know, it is day to day. Absolutely. But yeah, I think athletes have a tendency to think about like, okay, fueling and hydration. So I got to make sure I've got like my gels or whatever I'm going to be eating while I'm, you know, on course. But then, I see a tendency to like have carbohydrates all over the place and like the whole day is a little unplanned. And so then it can lead to missing meals. It can lead to skipping snacks. It can lead to having to then like put all of our meals towards like the end of the day and just like force all that food in, and it can get really overwhelming. Do you have some like really great mindset shifts for people around like how they view nutrition that may help them to kind of see nutrition in a different way?
Yeah. That's a great point. And what you just brought up too, is more of that reactionary, you know, approach. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about nutrition, certainly in the first few sessions, when I'm working with a client, you know, from a mindset shift perspective, I really like to bring home the point that we are supporting you as the human. When you support yourself as a human, you can then excel as an athlete. You can't excel as the athlete if you don't have that foundational base. And it may not be apparent at that moment, but it sure is going to be apparent, you know, two to three years down the road when you are still in the sport and want to be in the sport, but then you're suffering from burnout, injury, and fatigue.
Oh, and we're going to get into all of that in just a little bit, but, before we get there, and I'm so with you on that. You know, one of the things that I talk to a lot of athletes, well, and also like the people that I work with, because I also work with entrepreneurs and CEOs and all of that. But the reason why I really wanted to start with mindset here first is because we have a tendency, just as I was kind of mentioning, like to look at all of the like do's. What do we need to do? How do we need to make it happen? What are the strategies? What are all those things? But really, when we start to take it back, those strategies, those doing things that we do, those hows, all of those things are really guided by who we're being. It's guided by that mindset piece. So, you know, when we're struggling with nutrition, like you mentioned, 2 to 3 years down the road, especially when we're in this sport for a really long time and we want to continue doing that, you know, we've also got to think about like, well, how are you being? What is that person? What's going on in that brain that is not focusing on the nutrition side? What is it that is going on in that subconscious mind that then is bringing about this, like, well, nutrition isn't, I'll focus on that later. I'll deal with that later. People also tend to do that with mindset as well. And it's so interesting because, it's one of the base pillars of like the foundational pieces of then after we've got that on point, then all the other things can start to come up after that. So that's why we're starting there, for the people that are listening. You know this already, but that's why we're,
No. And it's such a great point. And one of the exercises, you know, well, before I say that, you know, I see people a lot of times just checking the box, meaning we want to think these things. So we're just like, all right, I'm just going to think this way. We just want to check the box instead of really doing the work to like bring it in and integrate it as part of us. So I think something that's really beneficial, though some people might think it's a little boring and it's a little dry, is to really do a little bit of values work and just try to identify, though, a couple things that are really important to you. And then you can use that as, I don't want to say the only thing that guides your goals, but it helps you to understand, like, is this goal really making sense with my values? Because things will stick a lot more if they are related to values, as opposed to not being related to your values.
Sure. Or whether we're like trying to prove something to someone, or this is some sort of like goal or thing we wanted to do that's because we wanted to show someone that, or it's someone else's goal entirely that we then have. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that that can come about that. Yeah. If it's not aligned with who you want to be and who you're, what your values are, it's going to be a lot harder than it needs
exactly.
to be. Yeah. So just to kind of get then into a little bit of the nitty gritty before we go into, we're sort of setting the stage here, but before we go into like burnout and fatigue, you know, I do get a lot of questions around like how much protein is enough protein? How much, you know, what are we looking at as far as like nutrient deficiencies and iron? So I kind of want to break things down a little bit just as like common questions and common also struggles that I feel like I see athletes have a lot. So just from your perspective, at least, protein, not enough protein, too much protein, where do you kind of tend to like suggest or advise athletes on around that?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the sport. I will say that, but I am rarely recommending any less than 1.4 grams per kilogram. And if you want to do a quick calculation on your own for everyone who's listening, take your weight divided by 2.2 and then multiply it by that 1.4, or, you know, wherever you set the goal. But I rarely run into people who are underdoing it from their nutrition, from their protein perspective. I don't often encounter people that aren't eating enough protein unless they are under eating, which makes it difficult to get to that protein amount.
Yeah. And what are some of the risks associated with under eating? So getting close even into that like red S, so that low energy availability, what are some of the risks or things that we need to be like thinking about, and why this is so important to make sure that we are eating enough?
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of eating enough, you know, that phrase, we hear that a lot. It's making sure that you're eating enough calories to sustain first life, that human component, and then the activity that's layered on top of that. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that you have enough energy available to send energy where it needs to go for processes in your body. So hormone health, I'm sure we'll dig into this, but hormone health being one of those big ones, making sure that you have adequate nutrients available to help processes in the body do what they need to do, especially if we're going to talk about iron metabolism, getting iron to where it needs to go, getting nutrients where they need to go, your bone health. A lot of these things play into you as the athlete and the person that's training and exercising. So eating enough from that standpoint, it is calories, but it goes into more than having enough calories as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned nutrient deficiencies and iron. I focused on that for athletes for like a really, really long time. And it is one of the things that I still focus on when I have an athlete come in. We want to make sure that whatever they're doing in their nutrition is supporting them from that foundational standpoint, because all of those nutrients are those precursors to everything else in the body. Like you mentioned, hormones. I mean, we can talk about neurotransmitters, we can talk about your mitochondria, your energy producers. I mean, we can talk about all of these things. But you know, if you don't have those B vitamins, those antioxidants, vitamin C, E, iron, as you mentioned, it helps to bring all of those nutrients and also like oxygen to your muscles and your tissues. Like you need to have these building blocks. And when we're not eating enough, we're putting our body at risk of just not really being able to like optimize that and make that happen as best as possible, which then has to go to other places to pull it out, which is why it's bone health, which is why it's, you know, hormones, and it can just affect the whole system. Because finally the body's like, okay, well, you're not going to give it to me, so I'll take it from somewhere else. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to, sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, you know, I think the first thing that people start to notice is, oh, I'm tired, or I haven't been sleeping well, or I'm exhausted. And then they just chalk it up to training when there might be something else going on.
Yeah. And on that note too, I mean, yeah, fatigue is by far one of the first things that usually comes up and people do. They're like, well, I'm just training a lot. And doctors have a tendency to say that too, though, you know, that's not just on the athlete. I would say, you know, I see it all the time that doctors are like, well, they just kind of dismiss the symptoms because they're like, well, you're training for an Ironman. Like, look at how much you're training all day, you know? Mm-hmm. But on that note though, you know, that fatigue, that stuff that tends to settle in, What are some of like the things that you would recommend like right off the bat for people if they are starting to notice like, oh man, I'm not just fatigued this week, but now I'm kind of fatigued next week, and it's just starting to kind of become a pattern?
Yeah, I will say that my approach is to start with some of the basics and then move into some of the more advanced. And I certainly do, just it's very dependent on the person and where they're at. You know, some people may come to me and they've never actually looked at their nutrition before. So the first thing that I'm going to do is look at, A, are you eating enough? Going back to that first one, then what types of micro and macronutrients are we eating? What does your training look like? What does your hydration look like? What's sleep look like? We'll do a lot of the basics. And then if we need to, or maybe even for the advanced person, there might be other tests and ways to look into optimizing someone. To first, we need to figure out what's going on. Yeah. So we might lean into things like Dutch testing or GI map testing to check people's cortisol levels, to check people's gut health, to see if there's some inflammation going on. You know, what else is going on inside that we might be able to work on?
Oh, this is like music to my ears. Yeah. And on top of that too, you know, I also don't want to miss out on this piece as well, is that I also know that, you know, when that fatigue sets in, when people are starting to notice these symptoms and they're thinking like, oh, maybe I should be eating more, there's also sometimes a lot of fear that comes up with that because they don't want to gain weight. They don't want to overeat. I also know a lot of athletes have, you know, body composition goals as far as like wanting to be, especially for our endurance athletes, right? Like wanting to be a little bit more on the leaner side. Do you have anything that you would like recommend, or just some like mindset shifts that athletes might be able to make when they're sort of experiencing a bit of that resistance around eating a little bit more?
This is one of the more difficult, but also more rewarding parts of the work that I do with clients, because it can be so tough, especially in our society and culture that really prizes, you know, being very thin and very low body fat, body composition, thinking like, if I am leaner, this will increase my speed. This will increase in my performance on the bike, increase my pace, all of these things. But the fact of the matter is that there are so many things that can impact your performance and improve your performance. And if we're just focusing on one metric that can, if taken too far, actually hurt your performance, then there is where the problem lies. So if this is something that I notice with a client, that we're really stuck on this weight, you know, we have the information in front of us. The cortisol is high. You're not feeling good. You're not sleeping. You're waking up in the middle of the night at 2 to 3 o'clock. You don't know why, but it's actually probably because you're under eating. We have to face these things head on and go through it. And I know it's really hard, but if you want this one thing or these couple things of a goal to improve, we can't be hung up on the numbers and body composition. And I know it's like a hard truth and it's not necessarily a mindset shift, but thinking more of like, what do I want most out of this? Mm-hmm. It's okay if you still want weight loss or body composition change, but what do we need to prioritize first? And then maybe it's not actually weight or body comp that's the ultimate change you want. Maybe it's other things. Let's go back to your values. Yep. Do you just want to feel accepted? Do you just want improved confidence? Making these other changes, does that actually improve your confidence? Like, we really need to reevaluate these things. There's so many layers.
So many layers. And I'm sure that we will have you back on the show because there's like so much that we can talk about. And like, I can just tell that we're on the same page on so many ways. But also, you know, to that point, there are so many different layers to this. And that, I think too, is why it is very, I love to find people like you. I love to find, you know, practitioners that get that it's not just one thing. There's so much more to this person that's in front of us, and just saying like, well, just eat this amount of protein and just eat this, you know, it's oftentimes there's a lot more going on than just that. So then on that note, transitioning into burnout and fatigue. So, you know, if we're, you know, this is actually one thing that I experienced, and it was really, burnout is close to me, particularly because I had And I've grown so much since then. It was such a great learning opportunity. But, you know, I experienced burnout because I had so many pressures that I was putting on myself personally that led to me just having so much stress on my system over time, just growing my business throughout the pandemic. On top of that, training for, you know, Ironmans and a bunch of different races. And no matter what I was doing, as far as from like the nutrition side, the mindset piece for me was really, really, really off. And so it was a rough, rough, rough year that then led to a lot of like immune system problems and all sorts of stuff after that, that I've had to then, you know, work on healing. So burnout to me is something that I really like to talk about, because it happens all the time, and it doesn't just happen in sports. It also happens in business. It happens in other areas of life. So, you know, one of the things I really wanted to start out with is, do you see burnout often? And what are some of the ways that we're going to start with the prevention first, and we'll walk into like when you see a person that has burnout, what do you walk them through? But first off, do you have a couple of things that you usually do to prevent burnout?
Yeah. And I can also kind of share in that with you, that experience. I'm, you know, not exact experience, but also share in that experience of burnout. And, you know, I think it's important to first identify it, right? Because a lot of people don't understand that that is what they could be going through.
Sure.
It's, what nutrient deficiency do I have? Like, is it this? Is it that? We're quick to blame a food. We're quick to blame our weight. It couldn't possibly be the fact that we have kids and dogs, and we have a family schedule. Oh, and we're training 12 hours a week. Oh, and we're running a business. It couldn't possibly be the hustle culture, could it?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be like truly open and honest with ourselves about all the things on our plate, and to identify it as a stressor, because stress is stress. It can be a positive stress. It could be a negative stress, but regardless, your body is going to treat it very similarly. So we have to identify it. That's number one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then number two, like, what are then also like signs that really come on beforehand? All mindset, physical symptoms, we talked about fatigue as being one really big one. And also, you know, just as you mentioned, some of those like nutrient deficiencies and some of those other things. Is there anything else that you tend to notice that are some signs that, okay, like, yeah, we need to be open, of course, about maybe some of these things are not normal, and that it may be something else that's a little bit deeper going on. But are there any other signs or symptoms that you typically see or look for when it comes to burnout?
So beyond fatigue, and just thinking through, you know, the athlete lens, of course, too,
yes,
is having a lot of difficulty in training sessions, feeling very heavy, lethargic in training sessions. Motivation is one thing that will come and go, but constantly feeling like you don't have the motivation to get workouts done, or maybe you're a lot of times like having to cancel workouts or not do the workouts. Isolation, or wanting to spend a lot of time, you know, by yourself, or like the constant need to sleep. You wake up in the morning and you feel like you didn't even have a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. You're just constantly feeling in that fog, which I guess can also relate to fatigue.
Yeah.
And just like the constant, I guess it's just like the constant thoughts, right? Like things always running through your mind, that feeling of overwhelm, you can't clear your head, is another big one. You don't feel like yourself. You can't have normal conversations.
Yeah. I can vividly remember one point where I was like laying on the couch and my bike was like right there, and I like needed to do a workout. And I like texted my coach and I was like, I don't think I can get myself up off this couch right now. Like there's just no way. And he was great, you know, cause he was like, well, make sure you eat like really, really good food. Make sure you get, you know, enough, take some recovery time this week, and make sure you're just eating enough, you know? And even from me, like, I think this is also a great point as well. Cause like, I know all of these things, and sometimes we just need someone that's outside of ourselves to be like, like, I think you might need to, you know, make sure you're eating enough food or whatever. Cause we just can get lost in our own world and our own space of things, and we can think that everything's fine, but then you talk to someone like a sports dietitian, or you talk to a coach, or you talk to anyone really that is there to help you succeed, and they get you out of your head because they're able to listen to the words you're using and what you're saying. And it's just so helpful to have someone like that, just to kind of be monitoring and making sure that everything is actually going okay. And this is one of the ways that you help to avoid burnout.
Yes. I love that point. It's such a good point. Talking to a coach, a mentor, you know, your sports dietitian, it is important, because I think a lot of times we think like, oh, this is normal. Everyone experiences this, and it might be your normal, but it shouldn't be the normal. Like, you shouldn't always be feeling like that. So that's a really, really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all about getting help. And it's not even help necessarily. I think help has an interesting like word around it. I would say like a guide or having support is even like a better way to put it, because really in reality, like, I don't know about you, but like when I set a goal, I'm not only all in on that goal, but if I can like collapse that timeline and make it happen as quickly as possible, but also because I've got lots of things I want to do in life. But you know, if I can also bring that about and bring that to life, that also speeds up the amount of people that I can impact, that speeds up the, you know, it grows the everything grows, you know, when you do that. So what I realized is that like having those people in our sphere help to make those things happen faster. I mean, think about how many, I can tell you, like from my perspective, and I'm sure from your experience as well, like we make mistakes. We're also learning, you know, on our own journeys. And then we also then, after we've been working with people for so long, I not only have my own experience, as you probably have yours, and we also have all these other athletes' experience as well. So now when someone comes in, we're able to say, oh, this is looking very similar to this person. And now that whole thing happens so much faster, because we get to skip all those mistakes that we've made along the way and make sure that you don't make them.
Yes, it's true. The collapsing time is true. And just the ripple effect it can have in so many areas of your life. So,
yeah. Okay. So then the kind of final question I had on that then is like, okay, so somebody got burned out, like me, let's say, it happened. It is what it is. You know, maybe they have some other like physical symptoms and some stuff from it. So we've got to figure out how to work through all of that. Do you have any sort of like suggestions or things to think about as far as recovering from burnout and getting back into sport and training?
Yeah. You know, some people are not going to like this, but we do have to step back training a bit. Mm-hmm. Signing up for race after race after race after race is not ideal. And I know it feels good to be, you know, you're in the sport. It feels good to sign up for these races, but this is a problem that I see a lot of times, especially for endurance athletes, is I signed up for one Ironman or one half Ironman and I'm here. So I might as well do several in a row, but your body needs time to recover. So I say that to answer with, we have to step back the intensity and duration of training. So that might be taking some time off, and it's going to look different for everybody. It might be taking some time off, doing some more, less volume, more exercise, more restful exercise is what I'm trying to say. So this might be more walking. This may be less high intensity stuff. This might be more yoga, just really balancing out the nervous system is what's important here. Mm-hmm. And maybe incorporating some meditation or breathing exercises. We have to really find what works for the person, because I don't know about you, but anytime I mention meditation to someone, they're like, I would never.
Yeah.
We're go, go, go. And it's really hard to relax. So getting into that more restful state is really important. Mm-hmm. Identify if you need to bring someone else on for support for your team. So does this mean maybe you need to work with someone like a therapist or some type of life coach to kind of help you with things, doing more things that you enjoy that are completely outside your sport? Yep. Maybe you love gardening. Maybe you love coloring or getting out in nature with your dogs, like I do. Doing some more of these things is also going to bring a lot to you. But then from the nutrition perspective, eating enough food, especially when we talk about like from a nutrient standpoint, I'm always very much focusing on adequate hydration, magnesium, vitamin C being a big part of this. And I'm sure, you know, you could go on with some of your favorites and some of your go-tos, but we want to make sure that there's nutrient support there too, whether it's a food support or a supplement support that you work out with the, you know, provider you're working with.
Yeah, it's such a good point too, because like when you think about recovery, a lot of athletes will think like, oh, well, I got to dial back my nutrition now because I'm not going to be working out as much. But when you think about, especially if we're at burnout, the need for nutrients, and this is in recovery really anyways, but you know, the need for nutrients, the need for that nutrition still remains quite high, maybe not fully as high, but it does still remain on the higher side because your body's now in repair. You know, one of the things that, just as you mentioned, like I broke out in full body hives. And so I actually had to really heal my immune system. I had to heal my gut. But if I had fully dialed back a lot of my, and then I was continuing to have like, I would still get hives. I'd get super, super itchy whenever I would get like even remotely stressed. And that included if I like did not eat enough. So my blood sugar started going all over the place. I would notice that I would start to get itchy and then this whole thing would happen. So like I'm sharing this experience because it's just a really good example of like making sure that you're eating enough is imperative. Also dialing back those workouts and that exercise is going to be necessary because like I would be breaking out in the middle of workouts. Like I would literally start itching and breaking out in hives. And I had to heal my gut. I had to heal, you know, my immune system. And on top of that, that nervous system. So getting more into parasympathetic, one of the tools I love to use is helping people be able to actually calm their nervous system down. So by the time I'm done working with them, they actually understand the value of meditation and it's a part of their normal daily routine. We turn that mind off, you know, at the end of the night so that they're actually able to calm down and go to sleep and actually get good quality sleep out of the time that they have. All of those things are just part of what's it, you know, we could talk about, yeah, vitamin C, we could talk about all of the different types of nutrients and things that are essential, but there's also these very critical, like big categories of like making sure that you're sleeping well, making sure you're eating enough, making sure that you have some of that downtime so that your nervous system isn't up here like all the time because we're just going and we just never stop, you know. All of those things are really, really big factors. And as you said too, like doing stuff you love, getting out of the sport, you know, oftentimes like I finally have this like desire now to go back to triathlon and I'm like, oh, it's back. Yay.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. That's great.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's, thank you for all of those points because it is really a big part of the picture. And sometimes when you get to that point, it's just accepting what we've been learning and then saying, okay, like, that's all right. We'll get it figured out and then we'll be back. And this was just a really good learning lesson.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we have like a few more minutes, before we wrap up. I really would love to talk about, you had a great Instagram post, really building up your Instagram. I really highly recommend following Natalie on Instagram. You had a pyramid there that really caught my eye that I loved because one of the things that you said at the beginning of this pyramid was that so many athletes tend to focus on the supplements and they focus on the sports nutrition being at the top. However, there's so many more things going on underneath, like making sure that we have a balanced plate of food, making sure that we have, and we're eating enough, as well as even still at the bottom, that mindset piece of really, really just making sure we're focusing on the big factors and recovery falls in there and all of those things too. Can you tell me a little bit more about where this came from and, just how you incorporate that into what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So with that pyramid, this is something that I definitely, and I'm not going to be able to recall the paper that I found it on, but there was a wonderful paper that had kind of a building block for athletes in terms of like, what should we focus on to support the athlete? And then in my practice, just seeing how, if we ignore the thoughts that people are having, it's not going to truly have an effect. So I went ahead and added another block onto the bottom of mine to talk more about mindset and like the action and why we're doing the things we're doing. So we have that big bulk with the mindset, and then we move into eating enough food, more focus on micro and macronutrients, so on and so forth. But it goes on again to say that you could throw supplements at your body. You could throw very sports specific practices at your body, like again, carbs per hour, but it's not going to have the intended effect. And you're pretty much going to be washing like money down the drain essentially too, because if you don't have that foundation for those things to work, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God. It's like the lesson for life.
It's so true. It's like, you know, I just had a person testing our water at the house. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, being able to pour yourself a glass of water, but there's no faucet. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad we got to do this today. I'm so glad we got to work. I mean, I feel like we covered so much, and also in, I think each piece was got the time that it really deserved. And I'm sure that I'm sure we'll have more conversations just so we can focus in on even some deeper stuff. But thank you so much for being here. I know you have a couple of things coming up.
You know, we have membership, like month to month membership. If someone, you know, wants to get in on some of the classes that we do every month, and one-on-one coaching is available as well.
Love it. Okay. Well, so if you're interested in that, make sure to go and check that out. And Natalie, thank you so much for being here. It was so awesome to have you. This was great.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking. It's so much fun. We could go on forever, I'm sure.
I know. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and I will see you next week for the next episode. Take care.